In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Father, we thank you once again for another opportunity we have to come to your presence. And unto you, we come to receive strength, to receive grace for grace, and grace for glory. Lord, we pray that you cause your heavenly sunlight to shine upon the tables of our hearts and equip us, empower us for the race that is set before us in Jesus' name. Do this, O God, and take absolute control, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. We thank the Lord for today, and we want to turn our Bibles quickly to the book of Luke. And we read from Luke chapter 13 and from verse 22, and we read through to verse 30. Luke 13, verse 22. Well, we'll look at just a few verses there, but we want to read through to verse 30. The Bible says, "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able." I want to read verse 24 again. "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last we shall be first, and there are first we shall be last." In this passage you just read, and it was during the ministry of Jesus Christ, many people came to him throughout his ministry to ask different kinds of questions and different motives behind their questions. This time, Jesus was journeying from one village to the other. And what was he doing? He was teaching. He was ministering. And people asked him questions. And while he was going towards Jerusalem, there was a man. There was one. We're not told whether it was a man or a woman. The Bible says, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved?" And that's the topic we want to consider today. And we want to ask the question, are there few, Lord, are there few that be saved? What was the motive behind the question? Why did this person ask the question? And is this true that these are the questions? This is one of the questions that is in the heart of many people. Are there few that be saved? There are people that ask the question, will all these and these go to hell? Will this group of people make it to heaven? How many people will be saved at last? Will people who do this or who do that make it to heaven? And they want to look for a justification, whether to do something or not to do it. And the response of Christ to you today, just as the response to this person was, strive. Now we want to focus on the question and then the response of Jesus Christ. You notice that this person asked, Lord, are there few that be saved? And if you look at verse 23, the later part there, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, strive." You wonder, this seems to be a simple question. The question that says, are there few that be saved? Yes, there are few. Only few will be saved. Or, oh, there will be many people that will be saved. But Jesus Christ started to answer the question by saying, strive, strive. You know, you see the word strive. Strive is an action word, meaning take action. The response of Jesus Christ to everyone who is asking questions of curiosity, who is asking questions of, and I will tell you as we go on in this study, that this is a question that border on commitment. You know, the person asking the question wanted to know if he should be really committed to God. And the mind of it is, should I give everything or should I give a little? Because many people will make it anyways. And Jesus Christ said, strive. You know, should I give all my time? Should I give most? Should I make it a priority of my life? Entering into the kingdom of God, being saved at the end of time. And Jesus Christ said, strive. You must take an action. And I know that there are people and there are ministries that say, Jesus Christ has died for you. He will never do this. He will never do that. And they tell you what God or what Christ will not do. Jesus Christ says, strive. Unto the man who asks the question, he says, strive. Set your focus. Set your pursuit on the kingdom of God. Enter. Seek to enter. Beyond just seeking, strive to enter. Whether the number be many or few, you should strive to enter. What is that to you? Christ came to guide men's consciences, not to gratify their curiosity. If there are many of you. And I know that many of us have questions in our hearts. Will those people who do this, will this set of people get to heaven, who continue to do this? Who are the people that really make it to heaven? And the question that will be thrown back to you is, what is driving that inquiry into how many people shall be saved? But the question that we ought to ask is, oh God, what shall I do to be saved? The question I need to ask and you need to ask is, God, what will I do to make sure that I will enter into life eternal? And Jesus Christ answered the question that he did not ask. And he gave him the priority question that every man should know, that it takes a striving, that we must strive to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I will talk about this later. And because there are people that say Jesus Christ did not answer his question, Jesus Christ answered this question. He said, there are few. And Jesus Christ says, if you look at that verse 24, he says, many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When you see how many, are there few? And Jesus Christ says, many will not enter. So Jesus Christ answered this question. And we'll come to that. But I want to point your attention to something again. Jesus said unto this person, strive to enter at the straight gate. There is a path. There is a process. There is a path. There is a way. For many, I say unto you. Now, strive to enter through the narrow path. It's a path because Jesus Christ had taught this already, that this path would not take all and sundry. It would not take everyone that just wants to come in as they are. But it will only take those who are committed and consecrated. You know, there are people who in the, and we would see, we see this in our environment, who would emphasize the need for people to come as they are. And then, while it is true that when you come to Jesus, you come as you are, you don't remain as you are. The come as you are is not stay as you are. When you come to Jesus Christ, receive, repent of your sins. Repent of your sins and give your life to Jesus Christ. Let the transformative power of God work in you. But many people have come to interpret come as you are as stay as you are. Come as you are. Jesus does not reject anybody. That's true. But true, if anyone comes as the person is and remains as the person is, has not allowed the transformative work of grace to be done in his or her life, such a person will not enter into the kingdom of God. Whatsoever anybody says, no matter who the person is called, whether a bishop, a pastor, a tele-evangelist, no. The word of God is that there must be actions that need to be taken. Even after we've given a life to Jesus Christ and we've come unto the Lord, there must be a striving. Now, I want to, again, you see the word strive in verse 24. Strive. But there's another word that we want to call our attention to. The other word is seek. Look at what Jesus Christ told him in verse 24. He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. You strive. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter. Now you wonder, there is striving and there is seeking. Lord, are there few that be saved? Yes, truly. For those that strive, those that will enter are those that are striving, that will strive to enter, that will give their best. And I will talk about what it means to strive. You see, there's a difference between these two categories of people. Some people strive and the other people only seek. What differentiates these two people? And I'm tempted to say there are two categories of people Jesus Christ is talking about here. He can even divide the world as a whole into two mutually exclusive and comprehensively exhaustive group, meaning those that are non-seekers and those that are seekers, those that do not seek God at all, and those that seek God. Those that seek God, you know, they have some hope. They seek the kingdom of God. They have some hope, you know, to get into heaven. They have as part of their goals that I want to make it to heaven at last. Those are people who seek. They seek to enter. As part of their goals, they seek to get into the kingdom of God. But there are some people, they don't even care whether there's any kingdom of God. They don't care whether there, you know, those are not the people we are talking about today. The group we are talking about are those seekers. Now, of those seekers, we can further divide them into two. There are some that are striving and there are some that are non-striving. There are some that are striving diligently, and there are some that are negligent and idle. They are idol seekers. They desire to get into the kingdom of God, but they are not willing to give the works that it takes. Those who want to get to heaven, but they are not willing to pay the price. They have it as one of their many goals in life to get to heaven. But the goal of getting to heaven has not risen to the priority that they are willing to give their life even for it. And those are the non-striving. And you see, going back to our passage, Jesus Christ says, many will seek. I want us to quickly differentiate between these two words, strive and seek. There is a difference between a striving believer and a seeking believer. The difference is in the importance you give to securing something. You know, the word strive emphasizes the effort and hard work put into achieving something. You say, I strive to get that. I strive to achieve that. Meaning you work and you give a lot of effort. Now, some people will say, what are you saying? You don't need your effort. Your effort is not needed in the kingdom of God. All you just need to do is believe. You know, the world, as part of those things that we are facing in our world, there is cheap gospel. There's the gospel that says, just come, as you say, just raise up your hand and say, I believe Jesus, and that's all you get into heaven. Oh, the Bible says, whosoever believeth, and all that you need to do is to believe. No. Perhaps that was one of the reasons why this man asked, are there few that will be saved? After they had heard Jesus Christ ministered and preached and gave, you know, those things that people call hard. And he said, then nobody will enter into the kingdom of God if you are saying all these things. He said, you strive. You know, there are people who have this as part of their goals, and they are the target of men and ministers and professors who go about and say, you know, what you can just do, just all you need to do is to say yes, and or then come to church regularly, and then whatever they ask you to do, just do them. And if you do them, you will be able to get into the kingdom of God. And that is why we have a world of religious people. We have a world of religious people that do nothing. And they do nothing beyond mere religion to enter into the kingdom of God. You see, there is a difference between those that strive and seek. You know, seeking focuses on the act of searching or desiring something. Just desire it. It's one of the things I want to achieve. But strive emphasizes the hard work, the effort that you put into something. Striving is about the process, while seeking is about the goal or the objective. You know, I just have it as an objective. I just have it. But are you putting the work? So you must be a seeking and a striving Christian. You must have it as an objective, and that objective must be primary, paramount. There are many people who seek the kingdom of God as an objective, as a goal, one of many goals. But this goal has never risen to the level of importance of striving for it. It has not taken so much priority as to require the effort and hard work that it requires. So like this man, they want to know how much effort to give. They ask the question in their heart, how many people will get into heaven? You know, there was a time also in our life that we were asking this question. We want to know how many people will make it to heaven. We want to know how much time you should give to this thing. Now, if it's just going to be a few, I know that if this is a goal I must achieve, I have to pursue it with all intensity. But if there are going to be many people, I want to look around and say, you know, I'm not doing very badly. I'm not so bad. I mean, if God, look at all the people in the world, if God is going to get, you know, God is going to take anyone, I should be part of them. You see, at the center of this question is that matter of self-comparison. At the center of this question is that matter also of self-satisfaction. And you see that as we continue. So if you look at verse 24 in the Amplified Bible, the Bible says in Luke chapter 13, verse 24, it says, strive to enter by the narrow door. Now this strive there also says, force yourself through it. Meaning, it takes some force. It takes some effort. For many, I tell you, we try. You know, the seeking is just trying. Whatever it is, I will just try. It's not so much of effort. It doesn't take so much from me. You know, whatever I can do at spinal level, I just do it, and that's, I just check the box. And God does not want us to be like that. See, the word strive, that as you see used in that passage, is gotten from the Greek word agonizomai. And what that word connects to is agonize. It means to struggle, to literally, to compete for a prize, figuratively, to contend with an adversary, or generally to endeavor, to accomplish something, meaning you it's an endeavor. It is a pursuit. You know, an example of the use of the word is in fight, labor, fervently strive. And this was the same word that was used by Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, when he said, and every man that striveth for mastery, he said, everyone that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore, so run, he said, not as uncertainly. So fight, referring fight, again, fight. See, this is a matter of effort. I fight not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached unto others, I myself may be a castaway. It is striving for mastery. Now, you wonder, why would Jesus Christ use this word for a man that hacks, are there few that be saved? And that was the first response, strive for mastery. Strive to be the best. Strive to accomplish the best. You know, the best, you know, we seek to be the best in many things. Why not the matter of the kingdom? There are many people who want to be the best in many other things, but the matter of the kingdom, they just want to be just an ordinary person. And there are people in the Christendom today whose pursuit is be the best in the world and just be an ordinary person, an ordinary Christian. You know, someone that goes to church and say, I can use my influence in the world to actually make better the church. And they use that to satisfy themselves. And I want to say that that is not it. Jesus Christ says this must be the primary pursuit of your life. It is striving for mastery. If you strive for mastery in every other thing, this should be your first priority. Strive for mastery in the matter of your salvation. Strive for mastery in the matter of the kingdom of God. You say, but Jesus is the one that gave it to me. I tell you, yes, Jesus has done his part. It is a two-part work. You imagine just sending your child to school to or for a training to go and master a skill. And the child asks, you know, how many people will pass this class? How many people are you going to pass? Now, what is important is not, do you get the skill? Do you get the training to be able to do what you ought to be able to do? But you're looking at, how can I enter? There are many Christians like that. That tells you that child is not committed to the process. It's just looking, if there is any way I can actually just get in without going through the process, I just need a certificate. I just need to show that I have done it. And there are many Christians like that. They don't want to bear the cross. Jesus Christ says, you know, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. Now, it did not end there. He said, come. When after you have come, then he said, take my yoke upon thee. Take my yoke. See, there is a responsibility to take. There is a responsibility to do what? To take. The person that come, Jesus calls. Many are called, few are chosen, not everybody. Jesus calls. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. That is the rest you get of salvation. And then he says, take my yoke. Now, he's not going to force his yoke upon anyone. Say, take my yoke upon thee and learn of me, and you shall find rest for your soul. Now, while the world will see this burden and this yoke as like the most difficult thing, I would say as we go along in this teaching that the yoke of Christ is really light and his burden is easy, really for us. But many people don't want to go. They don't want to bear the burden. They don't want to take on the yoke. They just want to come and gallivant and, you know, jolly good, you know, I am a Christian and carry the name of the Christian, and they don't want to put in the work. They've come, but they don't want to put in the work. And then they remain in the plane of religion. I pray the Lord will take everyone, if you are in such a situation, take us out of the plane of satisfaction of religion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You know, a child who goes to school and just do it for the sake of the certificate may not actually get the best from the purpose of the school. And brethren, it is no news that many professing Christians have given themselves to religion for the hope of entering into heaven, as many think that is what is needed to be saved at last. And many have said, if I just do whatever I'm asked to do by my denomination, if I just follow what they ask me to do, then I should be all set. And many people are simply all set. I want to tell you that judgment will begin from the house of the Lord. You know, from the description we gave, you see the world of non-seeking. That's the world that do not seek the Lord. But when you see the seeking world, when the scripture says judgment begins in the house of the Lord, what shall the lot of sinners be? You know, talking about there is judgment even in those that are in the quote-unquote Christendom, those that are in the church. And judgment will begin from there. People who are not faithful to the calling of God. They came, but they're not faithful. The Bible says it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And so that faithfulness is all that is required as we press on. Faithfulness despite challenges, despite difficulty, despite pains. And you see, this same word, strive, that Jesus Christ answered and used to answer this man, is the same word that Paul the Apostle used in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Oh, are there few that will be saved? Strive. Whereunto he said, I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So there is striving. I strive. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, it says, laboring fervently. He said, I labor fervently. There is laboring. Diligence is required in the Christendom. There are people that will say, you know, it seems you're talking about Paul the Apostle. It was just a special, and perhaps you're there. And you are asking, and maybe this has come to your mind, and maybe it has come to my mind at some point. I said, should every one of us be a Paul the Apostle? Should every one of us be a Peter? Should every one of us be a James? Should every one of us be this? Should every one of us be that? I want to tell you, it is required as, for a steward that he be found faithful. He labors. He or she labors. So there is need for us to labor fervently. It is not only Paul. If you look actually at the book of 2 Peter, and Peter was talking in his final letters to the church, he was saying that they must give diligence to make their calling and election sure. You see, you know, this old gospel of just come as you ask, you know, God has saved you. And what would the apostle say? Labor. Why would they say press on? If you look at, for example, Paul the apostle and Timothy, they actually went back in their second missionary journey. You know, they visited Lystra and Iconium, one of the places where Paul the apostle was stoned. And Paul the apostle went back there and went to tell them, he said unto them, In the scripture actually pointed it out, that we must through tribulations, we must through trials, enter into the kingdom of God. There will be challenges. Challenges will come. Troubles will come. Difficulties will come. Now, should that be because you don't want to go through tribulations or troubles? You say, I don't want the problem of anybody. And because of that, you stand aloof and you say, let's just check the boxes. Let's just, you know, go to church, pray. Just like that man who came to Jesus Christ, asked the question, what must I do to enter eternal life? And he says, all these things I've done. You know, they've checked all the boxes. Jesus Christ loved him. The Bible says Jesus Christ loved him. And then he said, now, you know what you need to do? Take all the things you have, go and sell them, and take your cross, and actually, come and follow me. And that time, because he had a lot of riches, because he had a lot of materials, now he would not follow Jesus. How many people are in the world today? Because they don't want to pay the price of following the Lord. Of following the, and Jesus Christ immediately after that told the disciples, said it will be easier for a camel to enter the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Not that a rich man will not enter the kingdom of God, but many people will, because of their riches, because of the positions they have in this world, because of the popularity they have in this world, because of the things they have in this world, they're not willing to strive. They're willing to strive for every other thing, but not the matter of the kingdom. And God is calling us strive. He says strive. He said, you may ask your question. What God, Jesus Christ, told that rich man was, come, drop all those things and follow me. Where is your love? Actually, the matter that is bothering on the question we are also asking today is the matter of, where is your commitment? People are asking today. There are many people around us. There are many Christians around us that are genuinely asking. They're asking in their heart, what should my commitment be? Should I give all? Should I give some? And they're saying, what is just enough to enter into the kingdom of God? They're saying, how much do I need to do? Can I split myself and still get that enter into the kingdom of God? Can I split my time? Can I split my moment and give some to this and some to that and still be able to get to at least become somebody in this world and then still enter the kingdom of God? How many people are at the back of the minds of many, many believers? Now, we're not talking about unbelievers now. We are talking about those who claim to be born again, those who claim to have come to Jesus Christ in, accepted the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. They are asking the question. They're saying, how much commitment? And behind how much commitment, Jesus Christ says, strive, labor, diligent, be diligent, labor fervently. Actually, Paul the Apostle used the same word that meant strive in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. He says, he used it to mean fight. He said, fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight against the allurements of the world and lay hold on eternal life. He used the same word also to Timothy again in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He said, I have fought a good fight, meaning I've labored, I have striven against every opposition, I was stoned, I have pressed on, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. You see, for anyone to be saved at last, that was the question. Are there few that will be saved? Jesus Christ says, strive, labor, fight. We said strive, number one. Very important. Labor fervently, fight whatever it takes. Let's give all your best and give all your focus, your energy. Make it the priority of your life. And there's another word that is seek. It's just about the goal. Seek. That word, if you look at the Greek meaning, you see it's from the word zetio. Now that word means of uncertain affinity, meaning you seek, but not because you desire so much. Now the real desire is not known. It's still called to question. To seek literally or figuratively, to seek, you know, it's an example that is reflected in just a desire, you know, just to, just to desire something. And there are many people who just desire heaven. They, you know, they have heard about the beautiful heaven. This word, zetio, it means of uncertain affinity. It just means to inquire about something. to try, just to try. You know, and people are just trying. There are many Christians today. You know, they just want to try. They want to try. Not because they are committed. I told you, behind the question, are there few that be saved? Behind the question is the question of commitment. How much commitment do I need to give? How many people today? Maybe you are there. And all that you're seeking is, let me just try. You know, I just need to try. The same child that you sent to school just want to give enough effort to enter in, and want to know how many people will pass this course. I want to tell you, if the whole world would give themselves to the Lord, the whole world will get into heaven. It's not a question of how many. If the whole world is willing to give, pay the price. The whole world, Jesus came to die for the whole world. But why are you asking the question? Why don't you pay the price? Why don't you give yourself? Why don't you show your commitment to it? But this man asking, how many? How few? How many? Without a willingness to go as far as necessary with or for the Lord. And there are many people like that seeking. How many? So that they know just the amount they need to do. It is not born out of love. It is born out of the benefit. It's not born out of love. It's born out of, I just want to achieve it. I want to check that out of my box. You know, so that let me know what I need to do and just make sure I continue to do it so that I can go and do other things and I can still gain heaven. How many people are like that? You want to pursue other things? And you want to just play talking with God? You want to just do the barest minimum that is necessary to please God, to appease God? And you ask, how many people will make it to heaven? And on certain affinity. And they pursue with their whole heart the things of the world, and they give just whatever is necessary. Brethren, does that describe you? Does that describe your own love for God? Do you have uncertain love? But you have the love, the things of the world more, which you are willing to split with God. Does that describe your own commitment? Just and only willing to do the minimum necessary to get in. The minimum necessary. I want to say, brethren, if you are in such a state, there is no minimum. There is no minimum. You know, many of us have gone a very far way to really simplify the gospel and to make it known to everyone, for everyone to understand what Christ has done, so that they come and let the work of grace be done. And say, oh, you just need to believe the Lord. There is no minimum. Jesus Christ says, strive. The Bible has said to us that the kingdom of God suffered violence. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, the Bible says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now. It is not a matter of, let me just do some things. From the days of John the Baptist until now, Jesus Christ was saying it until now. You know, when I was reading the now, my mind went to, you know, those that write codes, you know, computer codes, lasting computer codes, right? And they write now, and they put, you know, a parenthesis in front, meaning anybody that is reading this thing in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, you know, they will get the dates of that day, that same day that they have. So it is actually a perpetual now. The Bible then says, and from the day of John the Baptist until the present time, even until your own time. And if you're going to be reading the scripture in 10 years' time, if the Lord tarries, in 10, 50 years, if the Lord tarries, from the day of John the Baptist until now, until the present time, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So there is force involved in the matter of the kingdom. You cannot just play out minimal commitment. In the Amplified Bible, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, until the plan now is substituted by present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. See, if you're ever going to get into the kingdom of God, there are headwinds. In the business world, we talk about headwinds, meaning things that actually come against you making progress, right? There are headwinds against the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has actually faced a lot of assaults and violent men. Unless you are willing, and you are willing to give your strength, your will, you are committed to it. See, uncommitment, non-committal, will not allow you to get into the kingdom of God. And Jesus could not say to him just, oh, many of you, or this number or that number. There are people that say, oh, so number of people will get to heaven. No, that's not true. That's heresy. As many that are committed to the Lord, and they are violent. They are violent in their pursuit of God. They are willing. See, is it the way the people of the world pursue riches? The way those people that seek this thing, some of them do have sleepless nights just in the pursuit of the things of this world. They give all their energy. They give all their time. There was somebody that was one of the rich people who was saying it. They use drugs just to stay awake. You know, performance-enhancing drugs to stay awake. To sleep, to make sure they are sleeping only just for 4 hours, 3 hours, and they are still fresh and their brain is still working, firing. People go to that extent to get the things that the world gives. Now, I'm not saying that you should do that for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says that from the days of John the Baptist until the present moment, there is no minimum. The kingdom of heaven has endured violent assaults. If anybody wants to go on that path, you're talking about going into the celestial city. To step into the celestial city, we must, through several trials and tribulations, enter into God's kingdom. See, the kingdom of God has, from that time until this moment, suffered violence, as being under many assaults. And if you're going to walk even to the kingdom of God, you want to possess the kingdom of God, you'll face the assaults of men. The Bible says, and violent men, you don't have to be violent. And violent does not mean you are troublesome. It means that you are actually diligent, and somebody called it juggery, doggedness. It's required in the kingdom, in the matter of the kingdom. Bible says, and the violent men seize it by force. They take it as a precious price. That is worth actually spending, giving their life for. It's a precious price. To get the share in the heavenly kingdom, it's a precious price. And so, they do what? Did they seek? No, they strive. They don't just say, it's my goal, so I just want to, by the grace of God, go and check some few boxes. No. They say, the Bible says the violent take it by force. There is force. That force is striving. The Amplified Bible says they take it by force. As a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought. See, we say seekers, but it's not just seekers, but it's sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Not by mere wishing, not by tokenism, not by minimalism. Brethren, are you willing to give your life for the sake of God's kingdom? If that is the path, and maybe the answer is actually in the fact that it's not just one path for everybody. And that's the confusing part for many people. And that's the gap between in the knowledge of many people that they seek. They say, would everybody be like Paul? No, no. But the commitment, the zeal, whatever path you take, you must be willing to take it. Maybe you don't get the Macedonian call. No, that may not be you. Everybody will get the Macedonian call, but in your own part. And we talked about this some weeks ago. Now, one of the things you need to ask is say, God, what would you have me to do? Now, in that thing that God will have you to do, are you willing to be committed and fully committed unto God? And that translation says that from the moment John stepped into the scene until now, the realm of heaven kingdom is bursting forth. And passionate people have taken hold of its power. Now, see, we are not talking about blind zeal or blind passion. Okay? Because zeal, passion, can be focused on the wrong thing. Passionate, earnest, zealous people, they take hold of the kingdom of God. Zealous for God, not for, you know, and religion, somebody said, is the opium of the people. And why? It's a philosopher that said it, and it's not the scripture. You know, it is easy. There are some, religion is actually a plane. In the mountaineering part, religion, the part just staying in religion, is a plane. A place where people get self-satisfaction. We are trusting God to help us actually go through the series on mountaineering, looking at the kings, on spiritual mountaineering, just looking at the kings of Israel and Judah. But what we're saying is that religion, people just want to stay, you know, no effort, effortless Christianity, effortless, a Christianity that does not take any sweat from you. Is this the Christianity that you have? I just want to be called Christian. Christianity by name. That does not take any effort from me. Nobody hates me. Everybody loves me. Is that the Christianity that you pursue? See, I said the matter before us is a matter of commitment. The matter before us is a matter of earnestness in the pursuit of God. Diligence in the pursuit of God. The brunt of the question that this man asks is the matter of how earnest and how zealous, how much of my focus should the kingdom of God take? That's the matter. When he says, are there few that be saved? And God, Jesus answered. He said, strive. Strive. Maybe you are there, you're asking yourself, how much? Should I be like Paul? Should I be like Peter? Strive. I want to show you a few, just for insights, point our attention to examples of striving. Though it was not even in the New Testament. You see, Daniel strove. He took something from him. He said, don't call upon the name of the Lord. And they use the rule of the world that he is, the kingdom. And they say, no, you can't pray. that is striving, saying, thank you, I'll pray. He's not, he was not stoned at Lystra. He was not thought to be dead. But that was his own path, in his own path. You see, Joseph in his own path. In his own path, there was need for him to strive. And sometimes he faced pain. He actually faced prison. And of course, we know that Peter faced prison. But the Bible says, many are the affliction of the righteous. The Lord deliver them. Eat from them all. The Lord will deliver you. And if he chooses not to deliver you, see, the whole of life eternal for you is blessedness. So this man was asking, really, as many of us are asking, how much of my time should I give to God? I just want to enter. You know, I have some goals in the world. I want to be the CEO of a multinational. I want to be able to drive this kind of, car and have I want to have this in my family. I want to do that. And at the end of the day, I want to make it to heaven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Just, that's fine. There's nothing bad in that. But what is the priority? Which one is it that when it comes under assault, you are willing to fight for? You see, the reason why many believers, you see, they change from environment to environment, it's not because they were never born again. It's because they never set their priorities aright. See, God can bless you with riches. God can bless you with the things of life. But if your priority is now changing by times, now other things may change. But until you see heaven is goal number one, and it will be there. Every other thing is secondary to it. Now, okay, I'm a president of a whole vast domain. And the board of directors says, you have to stop praying. You have to stop representing Jesus. I say, okay, thank you. Let me go and do what I would do. I know what my priorities are. I know what my priorities are. What's my priority? I know what's number one, God. Thank you. You continue your work. I don't have answer for you. I can only answer to my God, because that is the person. I know I have a life. And you wonder, a man like Daniel forgot to show up even before he died. He just came to me and said, you go and rest. He said, for you shall stand. See, your place is ready. Go and rest. Look at Daniel chapter 12. Those actually, though in the Old Testament, they stood. They were earnest. They were willing to die. They were willing to face opposition. You see, when in the later part of Luke chapter 13, when Jesus was now saying, you will see Abraham, you will see Isaac, you will see Jacob, you will see them like this. And you wonder, I could just end that. He said, sorry, no, they did not give their own commitment. But then I want to ask you, if God and the pursuit of God and the love of God takes your attention, takes priority. See, God, heaven, the kingdom of God is worth all your attention. It's not worth your temporary attention, but a pervasive attention, a lifetime attention. And so when Jesus Christ was telling some of the people, I know that's not within what we wanted to talk about today, because that's a different matter. But Jesus Christ told them, he said, many shall be, those that will be first, some of them will become last. He said, and behold, there are last that shall be first, and there are first that shall be last, in verse 30. What was telling them is that, see, the matter that we are talking about today, this earnestness, is a pervasive earnestness, is a persistent earnestness. It was a willing. So for Paul to come out and say, that's striving, I have strived my own to the end that I have done it to the last. And I say, at this point, I know. If I'm going to stand on anything, I know. That is how you can have certainty of where you are going. That's how you can have certainty of where you are going. Of the fact that you're going to get there. He said, I have fought the good fight. He said, I have striven. Can you say that you are striving at all? Maybe some years ago, you used to strive. And you strove. And you did great things. And you are zealous for God. But now, you are in the Western world. You are in a place where, things are going well. And then, you no longer strive. There's no need for you to strive. You just want to be okay. You just want to be called a Christian, brother, sister. See, it is not worth being honest at the beginning and slow down at the end. It is of no value. It is not worth it. Because it simply means that all your striving will come and be in vain. Jesus did not say, just strive for a little bit. And he says, strive. That's strive. He said, strive to enter in. Strive. That strive is, in its sense, continuous. Strive. The Christian life and work demands earnestness. And the nature of Christianity from the beginning has been such. God sent his son to the world to die. God is earnest about his saving man. God is earnest about his salvation for mankind. How would you think that you get it on the platter of gold? Satan, who was at the beginning, at the very, very beginning, wanted to destroy the work of God. And it caused man to sin. He is the one also that is actually waging war against every man that seeks the Lord. And he knows different battles. He has dealt with different men. The Bible says in the Revelation, he said, war unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil knows that he has but a short time. So he's actually the one that is orchestrating headwinds against every believer. And you can see, your own may be different. But what you cannot afford to do is just to say, I seek, I want to enter, and fold your hands. And just leave. See, the kingdom of God suffers violence. God paid the price. If God paid the price to have his only begotten son, and for a moment, he took his eyes off his own son because he was carrying the sin of the world. And you say, you know, I'm just going to gallivant. See, living the Christian life, walking the Christian way, and running this Christian journey and climbing the mountain demands earnestness. This is because there are forces against, aggressively against, the true nature of Christianity. And I don't need to talk about that because you see it in our world. And we cannot afford to be carefree. We cannot afford to just have it as a goal. You know, that uncommitted or partially committed goal. You know, there are goals in our life that we're not very committed to. That if it happens, yes. That what differentiates something that we're really committed to is what we spend time on. If you're committed to something, you spend your time. It takes your time. When other things come under assault, you hold it dearly. Because you know that this one, you know, take every other thing. But this one, I'm going to hold it dearly because you're committed to it. It's number one. It's number one. The scripture reveals to us many times that the journey of a believer requires earnestness. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. How are few chosen? The Bible also says that the heaven and the price for this calling is for those that overcome. Meaning there is a battle to fight. That overcome it. There are forces to overcome. There are headwinds to go against. There are headwinds that run against the believer on his path to the celestial city. Really. It is not an easy road. That is the truth. It's not going to be an easy road. I don't think that's you just come. I mean, I think if you think you just walk and you say, by the grace of God, you know, I just want to get to heaven. And everything is going on fine. Just be checking yourself. Just be checking yourself. And constantly watching yourself. And be assessing yourself. And be praying unto God that God should set you. It's not an easy road. That songwriter says, we are traveling to heaven. For many are the thorns on the way. Now, that does not mean that because you say it's not an easy road and then your heads are always down. You raise up. You know, if you want to fight, if you want to strive, you are not striving from a point of defeat. You are striving from a point of victory because Jesus is with you. You know, the yoke you are carrying is not your own yoke. You know why you are carrying that yoke? It's because of Jesus. Because the scripture has said it. From the beginning, he said, after Adam and Eve sinned, you know what God said? He said, we will bruise the head. Say, man, he said, the son of the woman will bruise the head of Satan. And what would Satan, what would the serpent do? Would seek his heels. So at the heel of Christ is Satan. You see, why am I going through this challenge? Oh, come on. Because you're a child of God. Jesus is with you. You are carrying the yoke of Christ. He said, take my yoke upon you. So don't think you are alone. Jesus is with you. There are trials and troubles. He says, for many are the thorns on the way. There are trials and troubles. And yes, we will meet many dangers. Though our foot may be sore because of all the challenges, because of all the trying to bite and to slow us down. And we get weary from the travel. Maybe you are there, you are weary. You are about to give up. See, the race is not for the person that give up. You have to press on. That's part of the striving, a persistent strive. Though we may often bow down with care, we are assured that better days are ahead. Better days are coming. But while we are here running, it is not the time, to ask if there are many of you that be saved. Maybe you are going through a challenge today and you say, maybe people are asking you, are you the only one? Are you the only one? There are many who will not be saved. There are many who will have heaven as their goal. You know, it's not enough to say, heaven is my goal. Oh, yes, I know. You know, some people say, heaven is my goal. So they may even have a poster saying, heaven is my goal. What are you doing? Are you striving? No. Maybe you are there. Before we wrap up, you are asking the question, are there many or are there few that will be saved? Maybe you are gauging the world that is around you. And you are saying, in this world that many people do not even call upon the name of the Lord. Even just doing the barest minimum. Just calling upon the name of the Lord is sufficient. If God looked at all these people, just a few. I'll be among the few. There's no question. That's self-justification. Jesus is saying, what is that to you? Strive. At the point in which you are thinking that you are fine, many people go down. And some other people that you see and you think that they are not paying attention, at the last minute, the word of God comes unto them and they rush into the kingdom of God. And then you see them. They come from all the corners. People that you thought that they never received the gospel, they got the gospel. They got the gospel. But all your labors, all your work in the kingdom becomes naught. God forbid. I said it already. Paul and Timothy went back to the cities where they had preached, to Lystra, to Antioch, to Iconium. What were they doing? The Bible says in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, they were confirming the souls of the disciples. See, why did we come with this topic? And why we add this called the threshing floor? It's the goal is to exhort us to continue in faith, and that we must through much tribulation, much trials, much. The Bible did not say few. Did you see the word much? That we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So that's not what you will hear in many pulpits today. You must through many tribulations, many trials, many pains. The devil has actually afflicted some people with disease, sickness. Devil have afflicted some people with whatever it is, just to attack men, just to make them feel weary, just to make them feel. See, the answer to this is dying. That you possess nothing but God. Though you possess nothing. That all that you have is God. And so Jesus Christ said, the prince of this world came out unto me. He found nothing in me. He found nothing. He was looking for ego. Maybe I can catch him in his ego. He found nothing in him. He was looking whether he could find pride. He found nothing in him. He was looking whether he could find fame. Fame in this world. He said, all the kingdom of this world is mine. He said, just bow down your heads. Fame. Let's leave that for now. We'll come back to God. Let's go and get it. I could even use that to advance the cause of God. When I'm famous, I have connection. I'll be able to preach to those people. Strive. Strive. See, the people of the world even strive. They strive for their idols. Some of them idolize sports teams, political teams, artists, for things that will only last for 3 hours. Game. And you can be sure I was listening, I was watching one news in which there was going to be a game. people traveled from far away. And they took days off their work. And what are they doing? They were waiting. Some of them even wait, line up the night before for something that would just last for a few hours. They would do that. You know, there's nothing on their heels. Satan is not opposing anybody doing that. As a matter of fact, he's cheering them. Ah, go ahead. Yes, yes, yes. But you that say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be with Jesus at last. Say, ah. Whatever it takes. Pour, take the water from his mouth. Whatever that water represents. And pour out to oppose. But let me tell you, if you continue, if you persist, if you are not asking unnecessary questions, and you are not uncommitted, uncommitted, uncommitment, and say, how many people, till I will know. I will know. What is that to you? Follow. Follow. The kingdom of God is for life eternal. Men pursue things in this world that last in this world. They give their life. Some actually, you know, people don't do this. Like, but you see how people pursue the things of the world. Like, they give different things. They commit different things to get money. They sacrifice different things to possess the things of the world. To get fame. To get popularity for a short moment. And you think that the kingdom of God is so cheap, paid by Christ, of course. Yes, Christ has paid it all. Praise the Lord. And so, laissez-faire, carefree, we enter into God's kingdom. The Bible did not teach us so. Jesus says, strive. And that was not the only thing he said. He said, you know, and I've read many commentators on the scripture say that Jesus ignored his question. Jesus did not ignore his question. While it seems true that because he didn't answer straight, Jesus answered the most important thing. But he still answered his question. I want you to see what Jesus Christ said in verse 24. He says, strive. That was the first word, strive. Strive to enter the straight gate. It's not going to be easy. The fact that it's a straight gate, in straight then means narrow. It doesn't take a lot. Strive. It takes striving. It doesn't take too many goals at the same time. There are many of us. Some of us might be corporates. Want to have many goals. Want to achieve many things. Achieve this. Achieve in the world. Achieving for God. Achieve. And you have many goals. Many things. And you know what happens? When the rubber meets the road, you default to the one that matters most in the meantime. And you push the one, that one that is eternal, you push it to the back. You push it behind. Say, okay, I can still come back to that. And then as though, nothing, after you are done with one, nothing comes. No challenge comes. No trouble comes that you now need to. And that's why some people continue to shift. They are striving for God. They continue to shift it backwards. No, we can do this later. We can do that later. Until they never do anything for God. And they get on the final day, say, ah, oh, I did this. I did that. They say, Where are you coming from? Say, I never knew you. Bible says in Luke chapter 13, it says, strive. It says, many will seek to enter in. They will have a goal to enter in. It's not that they never tried. Many will try. Try, but it's not enough. And they shall not be able. Many. They carry too many goals with God. And so they narrowed God into a religious practice of pray. When you wake up in the morning, just pray. Pray a quick prayer. And so you go through the day. And then in the evening, say a quick prayer. And on social day, you know, do service. And on that day too, okay, do this. And then on that day, on this day, okay, do church service. And then, you know, just do the cycle. Just do what is enough. Enough. I know what the devil is doing. The devil is smiling. Even waiting for time. Many will seek to enter. So the problem is not that you desire. Many will desire to enter and shall not be able. Are you a desiring Christian? Desiring heaven? Are you a striving Christian? That is where we're going to stop this evening and seek the face of God. The fact that many will seek and desire to enter and shall not be able to enter, say something. These are seekers. These are desirers. They desire. Just like a man that desires to be rich. And he's not willing to pay the price. And if he's ever going to be rich, he goes through, you know, the side. You know, there are people who are actually jumping the fence into the kingdom. Yeah, I want to enter. And the scripture says it. Jesus said, when he told the parable of the marriage feast, he said, that man, he did not enter through the real path. He said, how did you get in here? Even if you enter. He said, where is your garment? Where is your garment? How did you enter? Where is your garment? What has shown that you have gone through, you have actually paid. You know, some people say, Jesus paid the price. I do not need to pay at all. Yes. No, that's not true. Now, if after you give your life to Jesus Christ and by the grace of God, you go straight to heaven, that's fine. Yes, Jesus has paid it all. But while you're in this world, the price you have to pay are the need for you to resist sin. You still need to resist sin, resist Satan, resist the temptations of Satan. These are prices to pay. Bear the yoke of Christ. Go where he would have you to go. Those things do not take, they do not come by laissez-faire. Do not come by laissez-faire. Zeal is needed. Ask yourself, are you striving? Are you seeking? Are you just a mere seeker? Or are you a striving seeker? Willing to pay the price and ready to give all it takes? Are you asking for God's grace to help you as you run the race? As we pray together, you want to ask, you want to set your own heart. Are you asking the question, how many? How many? Are you trying to benchmark where you stand by some default, and so that you will know how to divide your time. Divide your time between the world and God. Divide your time. You say, and some of us will even call it wisdom. Set yourself. Where are you? Are you trying to dodge the persecution of men? The tribulation of men? The pain that comes as a result of following the Lord? And because of that, you are keeping low. You're staying low. You know, you just want to do what is enough. Set yourself. Jesus said, behold, many that are first shall be last. Maybe you've been fighting for the Lord before, and you're ready to do anything for the Lord. You had a zeal for the Lord. You read the scriptures. You studied the word. You were instant in season and out of season. But now, other goals have come. You've seen the people of the world. Or the devil has come to you and said, oh, if you could just bow down. You know, bow down meaning just you know, mellow for me a little. Bow down. Bow down to the idols of riches. Bow down to the idols of popularity. Bow down to the idols of media. Bow down to the idols of whatever it is. He says, you know, and you know, just cool off a little bit. Cool off a little bit. I pray you will not cool off. You will not cool off and fall off. You will not cool off and fall from grace. You will not cool off and just cool down and say there's no need. Maybe you are there, you're on the plane of religion. And you check, you do everything to check the box. God is calling you. Strive. You're asking the question, how many? Where do you stand? Maybe you're not even asking the question, but because you have made a false assumption about all, you have believed a lie concerning how many that will be saved. And you think that, yes, many people, and you're already benchmarking yourself, that there's no how, last, we would get there. No how, don't worry. God did. And you're saying that, and you have reduced your love for God. You have reduced your commitment unto God. You have reduced your fervency for God. You're not slothful in business. You're not fervent in the spirit. You took away your service for the Lord. At the end of your time on earth, will you be able to say that you are forth? You're striving against sin, against Satan, against the world to pursue God. And you say, surely a crown of life is waiting for you. Will you be able to say that? Maybe assess your life today. Can you say that you have actually stepped in? You know, it's possible to be in religion. To be doing just what is just okay, what is fine. Some people do these things, they do it to satisfy other people. And let me tell you that the one that we have, God who reads the mind of men, he knows the heart of everyone, is the one that measures, is the one that looks at the act and act of everyone. And he sees your heart, he sees my heart. He sees our heart, he knows our pursuit, he knows our frame, he knows where our heart is, and he cannot mistake. He's a righteous judge. He's a perfect judge. When you get before him, he knows where your commitments are truly at. Maybe you're acting out. You're acting as a result of, you know, so that people will see. People that can see. They see that, you're still doing well. And we are trying to appease some men, some women, some people that have respect for you, or they've said good things about you. But God is seeing from heaven. And he says, you're not there. You're not there. Maybe you're living in the world of, I will make it to heaven if I just do a couple of things. And then you are giving away your love for God. You're having uncertain commitments. And we pray to the Lord that God would have mercy upon us today. Our Father, we thank you because you do not want us to perish. And you have given us your word. And you have revealed your truth unto us. And you've made it clear that yes, we need zeal. God aided zeal. God powered zeal. As Paul the apostle says, he said, I fought he helped me, as the power of the Lord helped me. I fought as his hand was mighty upon me. Oh God, we pray. Let your hand be mighty upon us. Help us to fight the fight of faith. Help us to run the race that is set before us with zeal, with passion. Oh God, as many that have lost the fire of God, the fire from heaven, the zeal for God, all the things of the world have come to entice. Oh God, we pray, ignite your fire once again. As many that have taken the priority of the things of God and has thrown them to one of many goals to achieve. Oh God, help us to reprioritize our life and to prioritize the things of God above the things of the world, that we are ready to give ourselves, to spend and be spent for you. So that on the final day, when we are leaving this world, we can say, I came, I saw, and I conquered. Conquered the world of sin. Conquered the world of lassitude. And we fought the good fight of faith. And we have conquered by the grace of God. Help us, O God. And we pray that let this heart be constant in our hearts. That we will continue to seek your face. Assess our states. So that the end of time will not have us to bite our fingers and to gnash our teeth. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. And God bless you.